Well, the digital divide is used to refer to a lot of different things, but the specific thing that we're going to be talking about tomorrow is the ability for people to get access to the internet and in various forms, whether that's via wired connections at their home or wireless connections to their smartphones and tablets, and both in the United States and in inner cities, in schools and libraries, in rural areas, on tribal lands, and then we're also going to look at some of the international issues around it. So the basic idea is, you know, what are the barriers that prevent people from getting access to the internet and taking advantage of all the opportunities it provides?
Well, I know that term digital divide first emerged in the 1990s, and the National Telecommunications and Information Administration had a series of reports looking at this very issue. Now we're in 2015. If we just take our own state here in Colorado, what is the reality around internet access that for so many of us, particularly in an urban area, seems so ubiquitous?
Yeah, and it's important to sort of think about the numbers here. So the Pew Foundation did a good study on this a couple of years ago that says there's about 15% of Americans over the age of 18, the study didn't get into children, which is another story, but that don't access the internet for a variety of reasons. And some people, you know, make the decision just not to use the internet, which I know is sort of hard to grapple with. But there are a lot of people who cannot access the internet either because it's not provided where they live, because they lack the financial means to get on, because they lack the education to be able to access it. So there are a number of sort of interconnected issues. And if you think about that 15% number, and it's somewhere around 25% of that 15% is not able to access the internet because it's not available or because of cost. You know, you look at the United States and you think about 330 million people. You know, we're talking about millions or maybe even tens of millions of people who are just unable to get online. So it's a pretty significant segment of our society, and it's a really serious problem, and that's why we're taking the time to talk about it.
And what is the impact on those who are on the wrong side of that digital divide?
Well, there's a big debate about this, and this has kind of materialized with the Federal Communications Commission over the last year over whether internet access is a necessity or not, and you know, if so, what it's a necessity for. And internationally, there's a debate over whether internet access ought to be a human right or a civil right recognized by countries across the world. You know, as a practical matter, when we kind of strip away all of those framing questions, there's no doubt that it impacts the ability to participate in democratic society, to access information, to be informed about what's going on in news and politics, to participate in the job market. You know, many job applications now are only online. Interviews are conducted over Skype, you know, or video conferencing, you know, that sort of thing. Being able to participate in the market to buy and sell goods is increasingly moving online. So just about all of the economic and social and political aspects of modern life are impacted by the ability to use the internet. And so when people who would otherwise like to be able to do that are denied access, you know, there's a pretty serious problem.
As part of that conversation is price, a big component, because that is such a limiting factor for so many people. Obviously, there are many, many rural areas, I'm thinking of Colorado, where the service is just not always available. But price is a huge issue for people where they are living in an area where they can access it. So how is cost being factored in when we're looking at decisions and discussions at a very high level policy level, the FCC, and looking at monopolies and looking at what's happening with
some
of these big telecommunications companies? Where is the discussion on price?
Well, so I mean, you mentioned both cost and price, and they're both important components of the discussion. When I think about cost, obviously, there are, you know, rural areas, and there are many of them here in Colorado, where it's very expensive to build broadband infrastructure because population density is low, because the terrain is difficult to deal with, and you know, the economics make it difficult for wired and wireless carriers to serve those areas. But then you, and then on the flip side, you look at the price, which is how much it costs to get an internet connection. And I think there are discussions happening on both of those issues. So both the Federal Communications Commission, through its various Universal Service Fund programs, looks at bridging both the cost of rolling out infrastructure. So, for example, they provide funding to schools and libraries, especially in rural areas, and healthcare centers in rural areas, to build out infrastructure through their E-Rate and mobile or rural health programs. And then on the flip side, they have programs like the Lifeline program, which is currently under review, and there's a lot of debate about the contours of the program. And that actually provides people with low-income subsidies to be able to purchase internet access directly. And then there's a big question about the role that internet service providers play in this discussion and, you know, what sort of obligations they might have to provide access to services at a lower cost, whether the government ought to play some role in regulating that or not, and that's very much an open debate. And then I guess the last point I mentioned is there is a question about what a basic level of internet service constitutes. You know, obviously the speeds that we're used to and the mobility that we're used to when we're using our smartphones have increased dramatically over the last 10 or 15 years. And so we're looking at what does it really mean to have effective internet access? Is the dial-up internet access that everyone used 15 or 20 years ago still going to cut it when, you know, all of the applications that people are using on the internet require a lot of bandwidth to use effectively? So those are all the different dimensions of the discussion, and that's what we're going to be spending a lot of tomorrow talking about.
Well, for those who do have access to high-speed internet, they can live stream the broadband conference happening Thursday, September 17th from 1 to 6:30 p.m. Otherwise, it is all happening at the University of Colorado Law School, Whitmire Courtroom, Room 101. And Professor Blake Reed, thank you very much for taking time to talk to us.
Thanks so much, Maeve. It was great to talk to you.